Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 34 degrees under cloudy skies. Today is Thursday, February 13th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A community land trust is another step closer to reality in Sitka. The Sitka Assembly Tuesday night awarded $7,500 to the Sitka Community Development Corporation to support the nonprofit's creation of a trust. The funding will support the salary of the nonprofit's director, Mim McConnell, who is also Sitka's mayor. McConnell recused herself from assembly deliberation on the matter, but spoke as a member of the public. She wanted to assure her colleagues on the assembly that she was not in it for the money.
I will continue to work even without pay, as I'm doing right now. I'm not getting paid right now. So even though they want to pay me, the money just isn't there. But I've continued to work, and I will continue to work, because I believe in this so much, and I feel so passionately about it.
The Assembly approved the request with Pete Esquiro dissenting. The funding comes from a $10,000 emergency fund the city sets aside for nonprofits. The Sitka Community Development Corporation has been working with a consultant, Burlington Associates, on establishing a local community land trust. Burlington's Michael Brown briefed the Assembly in a work session before Tuesday's regular meeting. Brown and SCDC Chairman Randy Huey also outlined the program for the Sitka Chamber of Commerce the following day. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The goal of a community land trust is to create affordable home ownership for people of middle income. CLTs own the land under the homes in perpetuity, and homeowners buy and sell only the houses themselves. In a place like Sitka, where scarcity is driving up the price of land, this can lower the purchase price of a home significantly and make the difference for someone trying to qualify for a mortgage. It will also lower the potential return when the house is sold, but that's the deal people make, Brown says, when they buy a home in a community land trust.
But when they choose to leave, if they ever decide to sell, we ask them to leave the affordability that we created for them so that another family in the same circumstances that the original owner was in when they moved in, that another similar household has that same benefit.
Brown said that most people live in a CLT home for 5 to 7 years and then transition to the traditional marketplace. Community land trusts are owned by a nonprofit board, in this case, the Sitka Community Development Corporation, and homeowners pay a small monthly fee to the trust to cover management costs. Homeowners also agree to maintain their properties in a way that retains the value of the property, much like a homeowners or neighborhood association in the traditional marketplace. Randy Huey helped give the chamber audience some perspective on the problem as a longtime resident of Sitka.
The reason that a community lands trust, I think, makes so much sense in Sitka is because we know very good and well that you can't just step into this as a young family and buy a house here, right? And so that because of that, in 1992, there were 1,800 and some students in Sitka School District. 20 years later, there are 1,300 and some, 500 fewer students. Now, that's a pretty clear demographic indicator, right? Look what's happening. Only people who are our age and older and who've accumulated some wealth can get into this. Well, that's a bad idea for a community.
Huey said the SCDC would develop a formula based on area median income, or AMI, to qualify prospective buyers. In Sitka, the median income is roughly $75,000 per household. Huey said the formula would qualify households with incomes 20% higher than that, or $90,000.
But $90,000 or $75,000 sounds like a lot of money. It won't buy a house in Sitka. And we're not this is not low-income housing. This is median-income housing. This is the working professional. Last year, I helped a math teacher with 10 years' experience and a master's degree buy a 1970s rundown trailer because that's what she could afford.
Huey said the Sitka Community Development Corporation expected the city to donate land for the first home in the trust. He said the SCDC would like to market its first property this year in 2014. Members of the chamber audience seemed receptive to the idea. Former Mayor Fred Reeder said he thought this was a better idea than putting people into homes which they couldn't afford. That nearly wrecked the country, he said. Michael Brown said it was a matter of political will.
It's going to be up to you as the business community. It's going to be up to the citizenry of this community to say, we'd like to have some housing that's going to be affordable for folks who are otherwise priced out of the market because we'd like them to continue to be able to live here.
Randy Huey was more blunt. He said Sitka was desperate for housing. The effects on the community were becoming hard to ignore.
We've been talking about affordable housing for a decade here, folks. What's the other idea?
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Sitka Assembly on Tuesday night also approved an economic development loan of $350,000 to the Baranoff Island Brewing Company. The brewery will use the money to invest in a more efficient grain mill, which it said will allow it to meet a demand for its beer that right now is outstripping its brewing capacity. The brewing company also plans to launch a new line of canned beer. As of now, the brewery distributes most of its beer in 22-ounce bottles. Brewery owners Rick and Susan Armstrong said that cans are cheaper to ship into and out of Sitka, more environmentally friendly, and have a longer shelf life. And contrary to what you may have thought, Rick Armstrong said, they don't change the taste.
People are concerned about flavors. You can't taste a flavor difference in the can. What you can taste is the aluminum lid of the can if you did it. So if you're a true beer nerd, you should pour it into a glass before you drink it.
Good to know.
Yes, it is.
It is the brewing company's third loan from a fund since the brewery was funded in 2008. The Southeast Alaska Economic Development Revolving Loan Fund, also called the Stevens Fund, was created to support projects that diversify the local economy and provide employment outside the timber industry. The brewery currently has 6 full-time and 5 part-time employees. It estimates the expansion will allow it to hire 2 more full-time employees. During the meeting, the Assembly also heard from Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins, who called in from Juneau with this report.
In short, the state is going broke.
Christ Tompkins said that the state has seen a dramatic shift in just the past few years from budget surplus to budget deficit, one that is particularly evident in the Capital Fund, which pays for major infrastructure projects.
3 years ago, the legislature was writing almost $2 billion in capital projects into the budget. 2 years ago, that number went down to $1.1 billion. And then last year, that number is now at $400 million. And this year, it's probably going to be even less than that. I would guess in the $300 million range.
That's a reality that hit Sitka this year. The city had hoped the state would chip in about $18.5 million to finish the Blue Lake Hydro project, but that's looking increasingly unlikely. The city is now applying for a low-cost loan from the Alaska Energy Authority to cover that final $18.5 million. But even the loan requires approval in both houses of the Alaska legislature. To that end, a delegation from Sitka, including Mayor Mim McConnell and City Administrator Mark Gorman, will be in Juneau today for a marathon round of meetings to discuss the Blue Lake expansion with legislators, the governor's office, and hopefully the governor himself. The Assembly also heard a report from Gorman, who had accompanied the McGraws, owners of the old Sitka dock, on visits to several cruise ship companies this month.
Sitka is clearly seen as a different port to the cruise ship industry. The descriptors of authentic and real were used by the 7 cruise ship companies we visited. And I think in there lies an opportunity for branding. They talked about, I learned a lot of new language last week. It was kind of cruise ship 101 for me. But they talked about the marquee ports of Juneau, Ketchikan, and Skagway, and said, Sitka's not one of those, and our guests, our passengers, always come back and say, we love Sitka for it being a real community. So I think we need to capitalize on that.
The Assembly also passed on final reading an ordinance encouraging city agencies to purchase goods and services locally. 3 fishing companies that operate in Alaska have been fined about $275,000 by the Environmental Protection Agency. As Lauren Rosenthal reports from Unalaska, they're accused of pollution violations stretching back to 2008.
The EPA penalized Blue North Fisheries, the Fishing Company of Alaska, and Golden Fleece Incorporated for failing to monitor and record seafood waste discharges from 4 of their processing vessels. Blue North Fisheries and Golden Fleece also admitted to letting their Clean Water Act permits lapse for some of their boats, which means they were illegally emitting waste for a time. Processing vessels are allowed to dump their scraps of unwanted fish overboard, as long as they grind it up into small pieces as specified by the EPA first. They also have to keep tabs on the time and volume of those emissions and make sure they don't contain too much metal. The EPA didn't respond to a request for comment. Blue North Fisheries of Seattle agreed to pay almost $95,000 for seafood waste violations on 2 of their Bering Sea Freezer longliners. Kenny Down, the company president, says they're not admitting to any excess pollution. Down declined to speak on tape, but he told KUCB that all of Blue North's violations are tied to bad record-keeping and missing paperwork over the span of a few years. Down says the EPA is partially to blame for that because the agency went through, quote, a long period of non-enforcement, end quote. Golden Fleece Incorporated consists of one factory trawler called the Golden Fleece, which fishes in the Gulf of Alaska. They were fined $136,000 for dumping fish waste without a Clean Water Act permit for 3 years, among other violations. William Bisbee owns Golden Fleece. He says they've gotten new permits, but that hasn't made a difference in how much processing waste gets dumped overboard. All that's different is that the crew keeps a logbook and takes photographs of discharges and sends water samples out to the EPA every quarter. The Fishing Company of Alaska didn't respond to a request for an interview, but the company agreed to pay $44,000 in fines for inadequate record keeping, and they've now come in compliance with EPA standards. In on Alaska, I'm Lauren Rosenthal.
And crab boats began fishing yesterday for Tanner and Golden King crab after 2 days of weather delays. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the season length for the Tanner crab fishery. Season length is based on crab biomass and number of pots registered in the fishery. 59 pot vessels are signed up and will be using 4,720 pots this season. Boats will have 6 days of Tanner crabbing in the most popular core areas. Those areas will close at noon next Tuesday. Additional areas of Southeast will be open another 5 days after that and will close on Sunday, February 23rd. Meanwhile, crabbers are also seeking Golden King crab. That season also opened at noon yesterday. That's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. And we're going to join NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back with you shortly. Good morning.